AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. The Matt McNeil Show, the sexy Sasquatch roams the stupidity void yet once again. By the way, I did you see the Sasquatch, the Bigfoot now? Evangelicals are saying it's the devil, Satan himself. You know, really? I would say it's a fraud, personally, because, you know, we've had, what, six Sasquatch shows that have been on the air for like 10 years with cameras everywhere in the remote Canadian wilderness. And yet we have to sit to see one, hey, that's a Bigfoot. Like, hey, look, it's a wolf. Or, hey, look, a bear. How in the world are we able to get bear footage constantly? And yet we have, you know, drones, satellite images. Could it be a Sasquatch? No, it's not. We already know it's not. And this is why it goes back to a long time ago on the show. If we're going to do a Sasquatch show, I'll tell you what, I'll set up at Park Tavern. I'll get one of those delicious burgers. We'll get our Bigfoot blind at Park Tavern. We'll have some of the Guinness burgers, maybe some of the pizza, delicious stuff. Maybe do it over breakfast sometime over there too. And maybe bowl a little bit there, keeping an eye out for Sasquatch, because I could do it anywhere. Why am I going out to the wilderness? I'll go to the Mall of America and do it, you know? But I'm now – the Sasquatch is Satan.
Who's saying this now?
Some evangelicals.
Really?
Well, they're saying that, you know, if you criticize Trump for yet another affair, that you're really the bad guy. Meanwhile, was it Franklin Graham that did that? The same guy that said, Bill Clinton does not have a private life as president. Now he's saying, it's like, if you criticize Trump for yet another scandal while we snuggle up to the most anti-Christian president in the history of mankind, well, you're really the sinner. Really? Really? Because it seems like your standards really changed dramatically. But apparently the evangelicals' new target is Sasquatch.
Went after the big targets.
Well, yeah, you know, you're really kind of shooting low at that point. By the way, I should mention, because I haven't mentioned this forever, the Sasquatch thing that we have, the sexy Sasquatch, the image, the logo, where that comes from, well over 10 years ago, when I was a strapping, in-shape young man, before I had the age and rigors of children, suck the soul and life out of my being. I was at the gym one time, and this woman was clearly flirting with me, and she kind of rubbed my arm. She goes, ooh, you're furry. You're a little sexy Sasquatch. And I said to myself, really? Hot Bigfoot. Does that really do you? Yeah, that okay. And the furry thing, I guess. I don't know. I don't know.
I think we got to ditch the Matt McNeil name and just go with Sexy Sasquatch Show.
The Sexy Sasquatch Show? No. No.
It's got to be the stage name.
First of all, I don't want to be a sinner, you know, and these evangelicals are looking for a target. But no, that's where the term Sexy Sasquatch comes from. I was down in earlier today because the Legion baseball tournaments are going around. I was down in beautiful Apple Valley, which is just it's amazing how much that city has grown. Holy crud. You go to the Minnesota Zoo. If you're living in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and you drive down to the Minnesota Zoo, you're like, wow, this is a drive. You know, you're going down there. Another 5 miles past it is one of the largest shopping districts in the entire state. That whole big thing.
Are you talking that big Egan retail outlet mall area?
They
have another one
down
there?
Well, it's down south of Cedar. It's about 150th, 160th down there. It's just blocks and blocks and blocks of shops and stores and stuff. It's not a mall. It's just, you know, strip malls and every chain restaurant and every chain store you can imagine. I was down there driving. It's such a big city. And it does blow my mind, concept of people that live down there and drive into Minneapolis that night, every day. Unless you're doing second, third shift, I mean, you're a sycophant. I'm just going to say that's a long haul, man.
I think light rail would be a winning issue down there.
You'd think so. You know, I don't know. These conservative areas, the thought of being able to walk out your door, go two, three blocks, jump on a train, and take that into downtown Minneapolis. You know, call me wacky crazy. That might seem like a really good idea. Or you could do the hour and a half drive every day. That's just, you know, something I've come across. I will say this about driving. Did you see the closure they got this weekend? They're going to do this 2 weeks in a row.
Just read that. Really? They're going to close all of – it's pretty much between 494 and 694, isn't it?
If I read this correctly, northbound, it's from the crosstown all the way up to 694, but you're going to be able to get on the northbound side starting at County C,
which is in the very northern part anyway. So it's you're not there. Yeah. The northbound shut down the entire stretch, basically, through the downtown, from the crosstown up into the downtown, and then all the way up to 694 on the north side. The southbound side is closed from 694 down to 280-36. And then I think was it 46 down to the crosstown?
I didn't know they were only closing part of it. Okay.
On the southbound side. On the southbound. Needless to say, just avoid it. It's going to be a mess. It is going to be. This is the weekend. I don't know. I'll just go west maybe. I don't know. I'll just head out to Minnetonka or something.
Just
like
close 94 to make it a whole thing. Just
can you imagine? Just shut down the three majors: 35E, 35W, and 94. Can you just imagine? How bad of a drive would 494, 694 be around the cities? Holy crud.
You've got to reduce crosstown to one lane in each direction. Just put the cherry on top.
We'll take a lane off of 494, 694 the entire way, all the way around, just for the heck of it. Why not? So once again, there are major closures, 35W, both directions, the entire weekend. Most of the stretch from crosstown on the south side all the way up to 694. Just read up, look for it, go to MnDOT's site. You'll see the details there. I'm presuming they're doing multiple projects out there because I can't comprehend if this is just for that Washington Avenue Bridge replacement downtown, you know, why they'd be closing the whole thing. So they must be doing bridge maintenance or something of that nature. You'd think that that'd be the case. Just be advised. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Speaking of being advised, an amendment meant to expedite the land exchange between PolyMet Mining Company and the U.S. Forest Service was dropped Monday from the National Defense Authorization Act. The amendment would have reaffirmed the land swap deal that closed on June 28th with the company transferring nearly 6,900 acres of private land within the Superior National Forest boundary to the Forest Service in exchange for 6,500 acres at the mine site north of Hoyt Lakes, also nullifying four lawsuits against the deal pending in federal court. Now, PolyMet, why did north of Hoyt Lakes? I mean, it's up in the Ely area, isn't it? I don't know why. I think maybe they're just terrified of labeling Vermilion and Ely as part of this whole deal. The amendment was removed by members of the U.S. Senate House Conference Committee, now plaintiffs in the various lawsuits, which argue that the Forest Service undervalued the land for its mining potential and the agency didn't fully consider implications on endangered or threatened species, are hoping to continue their fight. Mark Fink, the Duluth-based attorney for the Center for Biological Diversity, one of the plaintiffs in the lawsuit, said the statement Tuesday he was glad to see the amendment go. That puts the focus back on the court challenge where it should be. We are hopeful the court will agree and this land exchange is illegal. PolyMet maintains the land exchange is permanent. In a statement Tuesday, PolyMet officials said the company once was disappointed the land exchange amendment failed to be included in the final version of the NDAA, adding later that the congressional stamp of approval would provide legal certainty. With vocal support from Representatives Rick Nolan, Tom Emmer, Senators Tina Smith, and Amy Klobuchar, the amendment had passed the U.S. House of Representatives and Senate. PolyMet hopes to use that existing support for another chance as other opportunities present themselves. We remain optimistic that the Minnesota delegation will continue to push hard for Congress ultimately to get this done. PolyMet's statement said it was echoed by Jobs in Minnesota Group, the support of the PolyMet project. We work continuously together. We know how committed they have been to getting it done and that our delegation remains resolved to continue its efforts, the group said in a statement. Meanwhile, PolyMet is waiting state and federal permits to build and operate its proposed mine and processing center at the site of the former LTV steel mining taconite plant. The company also must secure nearly $1 billion to build the project. Company officials said Tuesday that the decision to drop the land exchange amendment won't affect all that. Critics say the project is likely to send tainted runoff into local runways, potentially polluting the St. Louis River system. Supporters say the 300 jobs at the mine will help diversify the regional economy. First of all, let's just once again sort of say this, okay? All right? You can't do this kind of mining environmentally clean. Ta-da! It's this the mining that they want to do up there has never. Does everyone hear that word? Never, never. It has never been done environmentally safe. Never. There is a pit out in Montana right now that 120 years ago they did this type of mining on it. Right now, the only thing they can say is in 380 years, 380 years, it will be safe enough for humans to be around it again. They have, in that time frame, not made any major advances in making this cleaner. And as a matter of fact, even though we have clearly a incredibly tarnished and dangerous process of mining here, one that deserves due diligence and due oversight and not just pinky swears from corporate executives as they write Republicans big campaign checks. We should have a government body that's looking out for the citizens and saying, you know, first of all, we shouldn't have things like the oopsie law, which Kurt Dowd championed, where all the company has to say is they can pollute the crud out of northern Minnesota. They can pollute all the lakes around them, all the rivers around them, the air, the land. They can toxify it for 500 years. But as long as the PolyMed executives come screaming out and go, oopsie, oopsie, they don't have to pay a dime to clean it up. The taxpayers of the state of Minnesota do. And Kurt Dowd's, well, they pinky swore that they would do this right. I mean, I believe them. No, they're not going to do this clean. They're not going to do this right. They're not. It's cheaper for them to buy off the Republican Party of Minnesota and some Democrats. And don't think I didn't notice the D names that on that list I just mentioned. It's cheaper for them to buy them off than it is to do a clean mine, which should tell you how the priorities are screwed up in this state, for goodness sakes. It's cheaper to buy a politician than it is to clean up after yourself. And all these politicians, every single one of them, are banking on the toxified water and air and land happening long after they're retired or, God willing, dead, and they're long off the planet so they don't have to face the consequences of what they know they're doing. That's what they're hoping for, that it'll be 50, 60 years from now that the environmental impact comes to light. And then all of a sudden, all of us will just wag our fingers at those wacky Republicans and those Democrats who went along with this. What are you doing? Oh, what are you supposed to do? That oopsie law was a massive mistake. We should have never done that. What were we thinking? It is pathetic how spineless we have, the representation at times is that represents us as the people. And they know it. I mean, this affects us all. This affects us all, whether you're a landowner in northern Minnesota, you're a resident up there. This affects us all. For 300 jobs, for God's sakes, go put broadband up there, and I guarantee you within 5 years, you'll have 1,000 jobs up there. From multiple companies that are moving their headquarters up there for the viable base, and they'll probably pay better than this mine. Instead, you know, they're writing checks. I'll tell you what, I got a re-election campaign. The soulless Republicans and the spineless Democrats, they just, it sometimes is obnoxious to me to see how little they really do care about the environment. And let's just face it, when they do finally find their spine and they finally say, you know what? No, I'm sorry, this has never been done environmentally safe. There's no way in the world I'm going to sign off on this. Well, we'll add another zero to the check. Well, then I guess I've been convinced. You know, there's a way you could have done this from the get-go, which you just look at them and say, here's the deal. We'll tolerate this, but here are going to be the rigorous standards and the environmental safety that we are going to demand. Now, the reality is, in this day and age, that mine would not happen for this reason. These guys don't give a rat's butt about environmental safety and standards. They don't. They don't. They could care less. They don't care about them. So if you all of a sudden said you have to do it environmentally friendly, they'd say, okay, fine, we'll go toxify some other part of the world. Seriously, that's what they would do. That's what they would do. This is it's a joke. It's just a damn joke. And what I would like to see is politicians who say they're champions of the environment, I don't know, actually champion the environment. God forbid. Pathetic. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Take a break. Come on back. I got to respond to something from earlier this week when I do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show. But a reminder, Jeff Stein coming up here in just a little bit.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is All Digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. With summertime here, my family is super excited about the road trips we'll be taking in our Toyota Sienna. We're going to be putting a lot of miles in, but a Sienna is the most comfortable way to drive. Plenty of room for the five of us to stretch out and enjoy the ride, even with the dog and all of our gear tagging along. Safety and reliability are key, and Rudy Luther Toyota Siennas are the most safe, most reliable vehicles we've ever driven. Test drive one yourself at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is having its annual store-wide sale. For the entire month of July, all of our indoor and outdoor fireplace products and accessories are at their lowest price of the year. At Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we display, explain, and install the Twin Cities' most diverse selection of indoor and outdoor stoves and fireplaces, including metal and masonry pizza ovens.
My dog Stenson loves summers, visiting the dog park, long walks in the woods, and sleeping in the sun. But he is missing winter. Oh, not the outdoor outhouse, no one has paws or frozen ears, but those lovely long nights in front of the fire. I bought an energy-efficient wood stove from Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces about 7 years ago. Having a wood stove means more than lower heating bills. It means a happy dog.
Come see us. We have over 35 working displays in our store, which is just off I-94 at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, since 1977, out of the ordinary products and services to make fire work for you.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Yeah, God forbid. People who say, well, I'm a champion of the environment, well, then show me something. Say, tell PolyMet your checks are no good here. Tell the international mining conglomerates your checks are no good here. Tell you what, I mean, you know what? If you pledge to do it as environmentally safe as possible and clean up every drop of mess you make, let's have a conversation on how we can make this happen. But until that time, we're not going to discuss it. Nope. But I'll sure look at certain people's campaign literature when they tell me, I'm a champion of the environment. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Star Tribune Andy Mannix, an exceptional writer, by the way, I should mention. Public Citizen, a consumer rights advocacy group, has asked the Food and Drug Administration and the Office of Humane here, to conduct an investigation on whether Hennepin Healthcare complied with federal regulations regarding two clinical trials involving paramedics sedating people with ketamine before bringing them to the hospital. In a statement Tuesday, Hennepin County spokesman Thomas Hayes said the hospital is aware of the Public Citizen's complaint. Now, the reason why this story is resonating with me quite a bit today is because every time I talk about another unjustified police shooting, and once again, I'll stand by what I said on Monday. If you want to murder someone in the state of Minnesota, here's how you do it, okay? You become a police officer, all right? You become a police officer, and then you can be drunk and off duty, go over to that person's house, gun them down in cold blood, and as long as you just said, I was terrified. Thanks to the Republicans in the state of Minnesota, you basically are going to walk away scot-free. Murder accomplished. Seriously. There's pretty much that's cut and dry. I mean, Yanez fired blindly into a car after he was told, Philando Castile told him, I've got a carry and conceal permit. I've got a license on me, you know, and they gunned them down. And he gunned him down at point blank range and almost shot a toddler in the back seat, for God's sakes. Why? Because he was scared. Oh, no. Jamar Clark, after the San Diego maneuver. Remember that one? They had to gun him down, even though he didn't have a gun. And we went through all the evidence that they supposedly have. It doesn't even seem like he had grabbed the officer's gun. But they got away with killing the guy. Why? Because they were scared. Oh, no. And I don't know if Muhammad Noor is going to serve a day in jail. I will say this. It does not. You see an African-American officer get charged with this crime, and all of a sudden they seem a lot more serious than they usually are. I'm just going to make an obvious point. But still, his argument could be, I was scared. And thanks to the Republicans in Minnesota, that's a viable way to shoot, for a reason to shoot someone. Now, I brought this up on Monday because, of course, the civil trial, the civil case was filed as far as Justine DeMond in that case. And I didn't really get into the details. But, of course, I immediately get, Matt, you just hate cops. No. Don't you dare try to say that. I was U.S. Army, so I know what it is like to rush towards danger when everyone else is running away from it. I have a tremendous amount of respect for police, for fire, for all these people. I do. I have a tremendous amount of respect for them. I absolutely do. That's why, because we are entrusting them to make split-second decisions and do the right thing. And we're willing to forgive them when they make a mistake. But the last I checked is, I was scared. Should not be an excuse. Should not be a viable excuse. Yes, we should respect police officers. But we should not tolerate such levels of incompetence. Ever. And they, Matt, you use these occasional shootings. Once again, can I have at least one Republican who says, wow, boy, maybe they shouldn't have gunned down Justine DeMond in the alleyway. Maybe Philando Castile shouldn't have been gunned down in his car. Maybe Jamar Clark shouldn't be dead right now. Of course, no Republican will ever say that because that involves saying two African-American men didn't deserve to be shot. And frankly, that goes against pretty much the standard Republican, the MO, because when black people get out of line, Matt, you know, they were asking for it. He was a demon. But how about Justine DeMond? I mean, are we going to have anyone say, you know, boy, I just don't think that was really a good idea. I don't think that was smart. I bring this up because, once again, it should be noted that we had police officers in the city of Minneapolis whenever they just didn't want to deal with someone, ordered. Once again, this is not a doctor. This is not a pharmacist. This is not a paramedic. This is a police officer. Ordered paramedics to drug people. And in some cases, they had to have emergency CPR to revive them once or twice. Yesterday, I posted a picture of the story. This was the scooter story. And I posted the picture that went with it. And the picture was of two blonde women downtown with two Hennepin County Sheriff's deputies joking around with them. And the first thing I said was, okay, well, look, they're on the sidewalk. They're not supposed to be on the sidewalk with the scooters, and they're not wearing helmets, which isn't that supposed to be one of the rules of these things? You're supposed to have a helmet on. You're supposed to not be on the sidewalk. And as I posted the picture, I was looking at it, and I said, you know, yeah, wait a minute here. Would that photo have happened if those two people were African-American? Would that photo have happened? Would there be laughing and joking sheriff's deputies? Or would the sheriff's deputies say, hey, 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 what are you doing? Get off that sidewalk. What do you think this is? Where's your helmet? You're supposed to have a helmet on with this. Let me see your ID. Where are you going? You're allowed to walk from here. Because that's kind of what we see is the real world right now. The difference between the Caucasians and the African Americans. And someone needs to call that out. Because if all of a sudden we have an African American man who is, God forbid, shot from behind by a police officer in the street because they were going down the sidewalk without a helmet on. And the next day you have the, he was going down the sidewalk without a helmet on. He was asking to be shot from behind. Maybe we should try to point out the fact we got some serious damn problems here. So instead of trying to candy coat civil trials, which are going to cost taxpayers $50 million because of an ungodly level of incompetence by our police department, instead of us talking about police officers drugging suspects just because they want to be able to deal with them easily, and when we have to look at the realization that whites and blacks are treated unbelievably different here in this country by police officers, maybe, just maybe, we should be saying to ourselves our standards should be higher. Our training should be more comprehensive, and our tolerance for inappropriate behavior might be necessarily higher than the fry guy at a freaking fast food restaurant. Because if I was a fry guy working at the fast food restaurant and I kept burning fries and I kept saying, I was scared, they would have fired me. In Minnesota, You'll ride a desk job in your police station for a few weeks before they put you back in a car. It's just a god-awful world we live in right now. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Prove me wrong. Fix this. Just prove me wrong. Stein, when we do return, it is the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Make plans to attend the one and only Powderhorn Art Fair on Saturday and Sunday, August 4th and 5th in the heart of South Minneapolis and picture-perfect Powderhorn Park. Experience and purchase original artwork from more than 230 artists. Spend time with your family and friends creating your own work of art at over a half a dozen art stations. And don't forget to grab a bite to eat from over 25 different food trucks. So join us on Saturday, August 4th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. or Sunday, August 5th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. or both. The Powderhorn Art Fair is proudly brought to you by Powderhorn Park Neighborhood Association in collaboration with the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board with a generous gift from the Metropolitan Regional Art Council. Again, join us for over 230 artists, 25 food trucks, and 6 arts experiences on August 4th and 5th. So we'll see you there at one of the most local art fairs around.
This is Dan Brooks, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor with RBC Wealth Management. For the past 19 years, I've been managing wealth for individuals, institutions, and corporate retirement plan sponsors. Throughout my career, I have seen common traits in successful investors. They include the courage to be diversified, the willingness to work with a professional, the discipline to follow a plan, and patience. I welcome the opportunity to help contribute to your financial success. Call me at 612-371-2396.
You have lots of choices in the Twin Cities for carpet and air duct cleaning, so don't just call the cheapest cleaners because you think you're getting a deal. You'll pay for it. Call Zero Res with their Gotta Love It guarantee, where they'll work to make you happy, whatever it takes. Schedule your carpet cleaning today and get the Zero Res Summer 3-Room Special. And this month, you can save $50 when you get your air duct Zero Res clean. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMN.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Like I said, I 100% support police. Yesterday, was it 2 days ago? Or was it yesterday when I left here? Police were pulling over a guy, and the guy had stopped. he stopped at the beginning of the parking ramp, the parking lane here for the radio station. You know, and it's not the police officer's fault this happened. The guy just for some reason thought, oh, I'm going to stop in front of someone's parking lot. And so the officer did his best to do this quickly, give the guy a ticket, and he moved away. I'm not sitting here cursing and flipping off the police officer. The police officer's doing their job. And that police officer, when approaches the car, doesn't know what it's going to expect. But the reality is that we have some serious problems where, once again, and I think to a point similar to the mining issue, where we don't do it the right way, we do it the easiest way. An oopsie law. We already know they're going to pollute. So they just basically pay out the politicians to approve the mine and then write laws saying, oopsie, we polluted. The response is, oh, well, you hate cops. You're against cops. You're against all, you know, these police officers. That's just that. And the reality is that is not what is the case at all. I'm 100% for police officers. But let's be honest with this. We have a serious training issue. We have a serious – and I think from what I've heard from numerous listeners who have called in, who've worked with law enforcement over the years, the screening processes are at times, you know, a little bit less than stringent. Programming brought to you by EatLocalMinnesota.com. Cafe Latte is the restaurant of the week. Sandwiches, salads, great pizzas, great desserts. The desserts available whole or by the slice on Victoria and Grand in St. Paul. It is Cafe Latte, the EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week. We got Stein. We're beautiful. All right, Jeff Stein's our national presidential expert. Noted author. You can find his books at Common Good Books in St. Paul, totallyiowa.com as well. IowaWatch.org is the public service show that he does down in Iowa quite exceptionally. And, of course, he joins us from KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo. Hey, Jeff.
Well, the problems are solved. The EU has solved the tariff issue with the president. Everybody go buy soybeans.
Actually, no, I don't think they have yet. I was listening
to it.
Well,
they're standing there. They're telling us they are, Matt. Are you being skeptical in some way?
Well, what they basically so you're saying to me the EU standards were that basically Trump, we had to go back before Trump put the aluminum and steel tariffs in. So Trump has agreed to undo the aluminum and steel tariffs? This is like a lot like North Korea. I mean, we talked North Korea. North Korea, Korean Peninsula was solved. We didn't have anything else. They're expanding their nuclear program, and they're not even meeting with us to return North Korean veterans' remains at this point. So, no, we're basically back to square one. Now everyone's like, oh, well, the EU is solved. Well, all right. One, that's part of the problem. But two, did he really concede on the steel and aluminum tariffs? Because that was the sticking point. That's the last I saw.
Well, yeah, he did. So this is why it's never a dull moment. Here's Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, before Congress today, literally conceding, using the word conceding, we have an awfully long way to go on North Korea. Meanwhile, at the White House, the president now says the U.S. and the EU have agreed to work to resolve the U.S. tariffs on steel and aluminum. There will be no further tariffs as part of the trade talks. The head of the EU said, I came here for one reason, and that is to get a deal, and we got a deal. And, yeah, they've agreed to resolve the issues. Well, what in the blazes does that mean?
Let's break this down a little bit, because once again, I think there are some things that have, when we talk about the ag sector, I mean, this $12 billion that Trump threw out there, which is basically spitting in the wind. I mean, last I checked, Chinese tariffs on ag, U.S. ag alone were like $17 billion. So it's not even covering the Chinese trade. And that doesn't include Mexico and Canada. And we can put EU aside for the time being. But Canada, Mexico and China are our two biggest meat exporters. And China's our biggest soybean exporter. So, you know, that's $12 billion is nothing compared to when we look at the amount of tariffs that are being imposed here. But clearly, the pressure is being felt by Republicans back in their home districts as they're trying to do some of this summertime campaigning. And I think that's a lot of this is coming from this, is that if you don't get off this you know, tariff fiasco immediately, you're going to cost not only the House, but you're going to cost another 100 seats in the House, and we're not going to get it back ever again.
Note also what's been happening this week. I'm just going to add to what you're saying. I'm not disputing. Yesterday, you had the $12 billion trade aid. bill or a measure. Here's $12 billion for the farmers to make up for the problems with the tariffs. Well, that's nice, except farmers are among the most independent people that you will ever find. Some of the best people you will ever find, but also some of the most independent people. They don't want aid. They want markets. They want the security of a market. And they're going to be very hesitant to take a handout when there was no need for the interruption in trade to begin with. But that comes down yesterday. This EU, maybe the soybean thing is resolved today.
With the EU,
what states will the president be visiting tomorrow? And if you guessed Iowa and Illinois, you're correct. So it's very clear he's coming out here, and he doesn't want to have to hear about how much he has stuck it to farmers. So you throw some money at him on the one day, you say everything's resolved and soybeans are going to come flowing into Europe the next day, then you come to Iowa and take your victory lap. I mean, that is what they're doing. I mean, it's not a coincidence.
Well, but here's the problem. Here's the two problems that they have with this whole thing. One is he even serious then about the EU thing, or is he just basically trying to make his, so he doesn't get his boo-boo feelings hurt when he comes to Illinois and Iowa? And then the other thing is this, and this is the one thing I've been interested in. With that $12 billion yesterday, I was reading soybean producers, beef producers, pork producers all put out statements saying it's a fine gesture and all, but for God's sakes, get rid of these damn tariffs.
Trump
trying to take a victory lap. These farmers already seem to say is don't take a victory lap when you're the one that basically is the reason why this is caused. And I don't know, tepid anticipation, and granted, I mean, where he goes, there are always a few people who are fervent Trump supporters. But when you're going into these areas where, the farmers have supported him, I don't know if that support is there. And I got to believe right now as well, considering the big question is China, and Trump seems to be hell-bent on basically ruining those trade relations, whether or not that this is going to be enough for them to sue that over. It's not like when he did with the steel and aluminum tariffs, then went all the steel producing areas and said, look what I did. Didn't I do a good job? That was right before the trade fiasco began.
No, you're absolutely right. And there's a difference between this is self-evident, but apparently it needs to be pointed out to Washington. There's a difference between the ag sector and the steel industry and that manufacturing sector. This $12 billion is designed to make up for losses because of all of the tariffs. Now, most analysts are now agreeing that, okay, so China's not buying any American soybeans. That's fine. We can sell them to Brazil later, but it's going to be at less on the dollar. We're going to get much less for it when we shift trading partners. This money is intended to, in essence, make up that difference. But again, the problem is it's short term. It is not part of a long-lasting solution. And that's why it suggests a failure to understand the individuals who voted for you. Mm-hmm. Okay, I mean, it might be okay in New York business circles to say, okay, I'll give you money, that'll be fine. How about we just give her money and she'll go away? Do you see a pattern developing here?
Well,
okay, so we'll give the $12 billion. There, that'll make them happy. Well, it isn't about the money, per se. It is about the way of life. It is about the certainty. And just because you made up the difference monetarily this time doesn't mean you're going to again. And it's going to alter these trade patterns that take generations to establish and the stroke of a pen to ruin.
Well, and I want to bring up something you just mentioned, too, that is – and this is the modern Republican, primarily Trump, but also the Republican Party's failure to understand the evolving geo-platform that's out there. The Chinese have been in Africa for the last decade, recruiting relationships, building trade partners, while Trump basically calls them blank hole countries. When you talk about what markets are open to us if China goes away, and you say Brazil and Argentina are massively tearing down their own forests to plant as many crops because China's buying as many crops from them now, and so is Mexico. They're basically opening up those doors. The real developing market should have been Africa, and there is tremendous potential there. But because of – and this is pre-Trump but also Trump – failed understanding and respect for the dynamics of the global markets and where the emerging markets were, the feeling was those markets are beneath us. Meanwhile, China went in. China is right now on the verge of turning, you know, Africa into a prime trading partner with themselves, which is going to benefit them tremendously. While we're here sitting here going, well, Brazil, do you have to tear down all your forests? Could you take some of our soybeans? Because kind of that's like trying to ship soybeans back to ourselves at this point. And there's a failure here to understand the complexities of the ag markets worldwide, and this is why you can't have someone who's short-tempered and looking for quick fixes running trade policy.
I have no problem with the concept of America first, as in you need to take care of yourself. However, that does not mean isolationism. It does not mean cutting off your nose to spite your face. Because, again, it is not a real estate deal in Brooklyn where there's another building down the block. So when this one falls through, you just take your marbles and go home and do another deal. This is a much more intricate and interrelated deal situation with so many different partners. And, again, ignorance of Africa. I mean, this is the kind of thing that is staggering. We complain about the inroads made by Russia and China in other places. Well, it's because we didn't do it.
Exactly.
And if we didn't do it, then shut up about missing the opportunity. It's sort of like, gosh, Matt, I didn't buy stock in Apple 35 years ago. Gosh dang it, I missed the boat on that. Well, it's my fault.
Well, and I mean, I remember Obama screaming at McConnell and Boehner back then, saying, for goodness sake, send our trade delegations over there. And they were basically saying there's no point. And you're like, oh, my God. I mean, it was just – yeah, that's a disaster. Tell you what, one last question on this. What's the chance after he gets back from Iowa and Illinois, all of a sudden he starts saying to Volkswagen and Mercedes-Benz, nope, we're going to put the tariffs on your car?
Oh, what's the chance he's going to do that? Probably pretty good because he wants to. I mean, you know, going to a steel mill in a place called Granite City, Illinois. I mean, talk about coming out of Central Casting. So he's going to be emboldened by that visit and then come back and start tweeting a new policy because, again, it's whoever talks to him most recently. And I'll tell you briefly, in interviewing U.S. Senator Charles Grassley, who's been there a very long time, you know, he has had some criticism of the White House with regard to renewable fuel standard. I put it to him straight up. Is it a matter that you go to a meeting with him and you feel that you've gotten your way, and then somebody else meets with him, and it completely flips, and he basically listens to the last person he heard. And the response from the senator is, yeah, that seems to be it. Well, holy cow. That's not a good way to run policy.
You're exactly right. He wants to put those tariffs on them. So I think this is all just a dog and pony show. We'll find out. I tell you what, when we come on back, let's talk the Cohen tape. Jeff Stein joining us. Once again, find his books at Common Good Books. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
This week, Connections Radio Show will be doing a part two radio show at 10 a.m. We'll be featuring Fearless Comedy Production. This group encourages, empowers, and educates new artists and existing talents and explores the limits of comedy while striving to create a more diverse and inclusive environment. We'll be chatting about the upcoming Fringe Theater Festival and doing radio theater. Tune in this Saturday at 10 a.m. to hear Big Fun Radio Fun Time here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Summer is the season to clean. For roof, siding, garage floors, decks, and more, Blue Sky Services can help you out. Anything that can be power washed, Blue Skies can safely soft wash. A power washing alternative that doesn't damage your home. So don't wait until it's too late and you need to replace things. Call Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484. And tell them that you're an AM 950 listener to save up to $100 in July only. That is 651-447-4484. Call now to save on July's services.
Hi, this is Charlie. My dad is Minnesota's wildly popular and handsome radio host, Matt McNeil. Did I say that right, Dad?
Perfect!
When I got my driver's license, my parents let me drive a Sienna from Rudy Luther Toyota. I love it. It's easy, comfortable, and hauls all my baseball gear. And my parents love the safety. That's why they wanted me in the Sienna.
Thanks to Rudy Luther Toyota, my son is safe as he begins his driving adventure. We're a two Sienna family thanks to Rudy Luther Toyota. Visit them today in Golden Valley at 169 and 394.
It's grilling season, and Vinaigrette has some sizzling recipes to inspire you. How about summertime grilled fajitas? Just create a marinade with our golden balsamic or champagne vinegar and chili, garlic, or jalapeno olive oil and marinate beef or chicken. Add red onions, red, green, and yellow peppers and throw them on the grill. Or try grilled steak brushed with our truffle or garlic olive oil. Visit us at 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior or online at vinaigrettemn.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Jeff Stein joining us, talking politics here on a Wednesday. Jeff, the Michael Cohen tape was released to CNN, and it's pretty clear. Once again, what Trump is trying to do is separate the tape from everything else and then try to rewrite what's said on the tape and say, see, I'm innocent. The reality is this tape is part of a case with Michael Cohen testifying about mindset and what exactly they were talking about at the time of the conversation is pretty damning evidence against Trump. As even Napolitano on Fox News said, at best you can say there's a fraud case, whether it's civil or criminal, we'll have to determine. But there's a fraud case going on here where he's talking about paying off the National Enquirer's parent company to buy off Karen McDougal's story and not publish it before the campaign. But numerous legal minds are basically saying, well, this actually goes a little bit further and talks about, campaign finance violations and also, presents a very serious legal jeopardy for the president. Your thoughts on the tape, because, you're a smart legal mind, too.
Well, I have a law license. I'll leave it at that. Yeah. Whether it's smart legal mind, we'll find out here in the next 5 minutes. The fact that it's Lanny Davis representing Cohen just makes this even more bizarre, because Cohen has apparently decided that it is time to flip. And so he's going to get a mouthpiece who's very good on TV, who is tied to the other side of the political spectrum, and is savvy enough to say, we released this tape only because the president has been saying things that are contrary. So we simply want to show just enough to show that he can't just keep talking smack about Cohen. The thing that is going to be the hook here, Al Capone murdered people, but he was imprisoned because of tax evasion. This has to do with the campaign finance stuff, right? Because if, in fact, there was I'm sorry, 45 years, did you see this on Twitter? 45 years ago this week, the cover of Newsweek magazine was a picture of the White House with reel-to-reel tapes on the different wings, because this is when the Watergate tapes were coming out. And so the parallels are striking, because I can still hear Richard Nixon, when he's told they need money, to say, we could get that. This is what you're hearing here. Mm-hmm. He's talking about calling our good friend David, or whatever his name is. So in other words, some rich guy trying to pay a publication to spike a story. That's not criminal. But what about in-kind contributions to campaigns? What about paying money in an effort for a campaign, to advance a campaign, and not reporting it? That's where, again, it's always the cover-up. Rich guy calling the National Enquirer saying, don't run a story and I'll pay you a bunch of money, that's nothing. I mean, it's sleazy, but it's nothing criminal. But campaign finance laws are very different. And again, Cohen knows everything about Trump. So when Trump says, what kind of lawyer would do this? a guy who was who knows who
yours.
His client is and was trying to protect himself.
You have Rudy.
Yes, yours.
You're Rudy Giuliani's your guy. What did he say on Laura Ingraham's thing? Is like, don't quote me on that. So I was like, oh my God. We're at the point. I mean, it goes back to the line he said yesterday, and I think that this could be one of the most bizarre lines ever conceived to be said by a sitting president. And what he said at the VFW, just remember what you are seeing and what you are reading is not what's happening. That if that isn't the sign of pure desperation. And like I said, we can go back to the ag stuff. I mean, I think the pressure was on him to get something right so that when he goes to this rally, it's not about Karen McDougal and it's not about imploding trade markets, that he has something. He's not about Vladimir Putin or the North Korea failures. It's not about, you know, the fact that this entire administration seems incompetent to the core. It's the fact that he has something that he can try to champion himself with. The reality is that this guy is – this is the reason why Rudy Giuliani is there is no one else wanted the job, because you will literally have to look like a complete idiot to defend the guy at this point.
Well, and again, going back to what you said, what kind of a lawyer would do this? His.
Yes.
Because he knows who he had as a client. Cohen did the recordings as a preservation effort for himself. He never dreamed that they would be seized or used against him in a prosecution or any of this. He recorded them for self-preservation. 30 years ago, I knew a lawyer in Iowa who recorded every phone conversation that came into his office. Now, Iowa was a state we called a one-party state. Only one party to the phone call needed to know it was being recorded. So, like, for example, if I call you on the phone, I can record it and I don't have to tell you. Now, what I do with it's a different issue, okay? But now, see, you're in Minnesota, I'm in Iowa, now we're across state lines, whole different issue. But that lawyer, who was not terribly trustworthy, said, I do this to protect myself. Well, what was Michael Cohen doing? He was recording Trump because he didn't think he could trust Trump. It says much more about Trump than it does about Cohen.
Now, it does. And let me ask you, I'm going to say the obvious here. We've got about a minute left here. But this is the obvious. Isn't really what the real problem for Trump with Cohen is not what's on these tapes, but what Cohen knows that he can now convey to prosecution to try to get off and get a better deal.
Well, sure, but we don't know what that is. That is the danger. You're exactly right. We don't know what that is. And the thing that's weird about these payments is, I mean, let's face it, Trump supporters knew what they were getting, and they didn't care. They were willing to put it aside because they didn't want Hillary Clinton. Would they have put it aside if it was Joe Biden or Bernie Sanders or anybody? I don't know. I can't. But here's the thing.
Russians wouldn't have.
He's going to all of these. Again with the Russia. He's going to all these lengths to pay off porn stars, in essence. And people who voted for him didn't care. They know that he's a philanderer. They know that he hangs out with these kinds of people. They didn't care. They voted for him anyway.
Yeah.
They still don't care.
Well,
they're campaign finance issue.
They don't. They care. They care. They're just not willing to admit they basically made excuses for him before they voted for him. Jeff Stein, once again, find his books at Common Good Books, totallyiowa.com, Iowa Watch, and, of course, KXEL. Thanks, Jeff. We do appreciate the time today.
Talk to you next week.
We got Doug Padgett coming on in after this. We are back on a Thursday. Till then, see ya.